Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. And we'll just read verses 1 and 2 for right now. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Once again, good morning. We are honored with your presence as we assemble on this glorious Sunday. It is the first day of the week, and so we meet to worship our God. Tonight we want to invite you back at 5:30. We will, being the fourth Sunday of the month, we will meet in a series of songs. We will have a singing service, and we'd love to have each and every one of you back tonight as we lift our voices in praise to Him. This morning we'll talk about Daniel chapter 6 and the protection of God that's found within that chapter, but a few things I have mentioned before we get in that lesson. First off, just going off what Brother James said, I do hope you are making plans to attend, because 1 month from today, we will be beginning our spring gospel meeting with Brother Tom Harrison. Tom regularly preaches for the Hillsboro Church of Christ in Hillsboro, right outside of Iola, in that part of the world. Not the Nashville Hillsboro, but the Hillsboro Hillsboro. He preaches there. Actually, this is the second time there. He's also preached in Cleveland, Tennessee, and in New Zealand. He's a very well, he's a great speaker. He teaches at the school at Bethany on Thursday nights. I've had the privilege of knowing him for a few years, and I know he'll do a good meeting because he said he's going to preach the gospel. That'll make it a good meeting. So that's exactly 1 month from today. So I hope you're making plans to attend and inviting everybody in the world you know. Everybody needs to hear the good news. What else do I have? Oh, so for all intents and purposes, if you remember, it was raining last Sunday when we met, and it started raining on Wednesday, and it finally quit this morning at, what, about 2 o'clock. And that's almost a week's worth of rain on and off. Can you imagine what it was like for Noah when it rained continually for 40 days and 40 nights? I had that thought as I was getting up this morning and looking out at the water that's all around the world. And my other thought is, boy, everybody's talking about rain a lot, aren't they? And can you believe? There's nothing wrong with that. Can you imagine how much better this world would be if we all talked about the gospel as much as we've talked about rain this week? Wouldn't that be a great place? I want to challenge you to talk about the gospel. You can talk about rain, but talk about the gospel more this week. There's your, and I'll do that too. That's our challenge this week. Let's get into the book of Daniel now. Daniel chapter 6, and Daniel has many lessons that we like to start telling people, starting from when they're young, all up till throughout their life. Of course, one of them is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the story of the fiery furnace. The three friends of Daniel and how they find a fourth person that is like unto the Son of Man. And another lesson that we really like to tell is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, but we'll look at it in a little different approach than maybe just the fact that Daniel is thrown in the lion's den and an angel shuts the mouths. So where do we find ourselves? Well, the events of Daniel start happening about 600 years B.C., or about 600 years before the time of Christ. The book starts out, Daniel is a young man. By the time we get to our chapter this morning, we'll look at chapter 6, Daniel is an older man. Daniel chapter 6 literally begins right as chapter 5 is ending. There almost could not be a chapter break at all. We could just have one long fifth chapter. What's happened? Darius has taken control of the Babylonian Empire. And it is now the empire of the Medes and the Persians. This man called Cyrus, he's a Persian. He's eventually going to take over the kingdom. It's going to be Cyrus that would eventually return the Jews from captivity to their native country. That's important that we go from a Babylonian empire to the Medes and Persians. Because King Nebuchadnezzar, if you remember that story in chapter 2, had a dream. In chapter 3, had a dream. And that he saw this large statue, and it had different parts of it. And at the bottom was feet mixed with clay and iron, and it was going to break. And that was the Roman Empire. But first you had to have the Babylonian, the Medes and Persians. You had to get through all these empires. And of course that was signifying the time of Christ. So we already see a shift from Nebuchadnezzar's Babylonian Empire to Darius and the Medes and the Persians. And so we see our story this morning of Daniel picks up, and he's in the role of King Darius. Now this morning, as we examine Daniel in the lion's den, there are four things that I want to to look at when we look at God's protection. They're all simple. They all start with the letter C if you're taking notes. So first and foremost, we see a conspiracy. There is a conspiracy, and that's found in verses 1 through 10. We've already read verses 1 and 2, so we'll pick up with verse number 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we have not found any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it concerning the law of his God. And these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto the king, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing, that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and decree. Now, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went to his house. His windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So what do we see in these first 10 verses? First off, let's look at the organization of King Darius. So after Darius takes over, he appoints 120 princes or governors that are going to kind of basically rule the kingdom. And some will be over here and some will be over there. And then over these princes, there's going to be 3 presidents. So from both Darius and then the 3 presidents and then the 120 governors or the 120 princes. That's kind of his chain of command. And so the Bible tells us that in verse number 3, Daniel is appointed the first president because there is an excellent spirit in him. Why? Because God is with Daniel, because Daniel's with God. From the very beginning, we're introduced to Daniel. He's not going to defile himself. We learned that in the first chapter. So this gives Daniel extraordinary influence because he's president number 1. But the problem is you have all these governors that don't like Daniel. Got to remember, Daniel is a foreigner. Daniel is not from there. Daniel is a Jew, and they are Gentiles. And so they don't like the fact that one of their highest-ranking officials is not of their nationality. The princes, they do not like this arrangement. Verse 4, they seek to find fault with Daniel. We don't have all their motives in detail, but they just want to get rid of Daniel. And so they're looking to find fault in an honest man. And notice this high statement of commendation that they say in verse 5, say, we can't find anything against Daniel unless we find fault in obeying his God. There are no other faults. His only fault might be if he did something that his God told him not to do. They say, Daniel's a pretty good guy all the way around. He's an honest guy. So what do these governors do? They come up with a plan. And they go before the king in verse 6 and 7, and they're stroking his ego, and they say, King Darius, O king, live forever. You are the great king. They want to establish a decree in that you can't ask a petition, you can't pray to any god, whether the god in heaven or an idol, or any other man, save for the king, for a month, for 30 days. And if you violate that, then you're cast into the lion's den. Well, they would have had that there on the premises to take care of prisoners, whatever the case may be. So no doubt, his ego, King Darius's ego, is lifted up pretty well because he doesn't want them worshiping anybody but him. So what about Daniel? Well, look at verse 10. Daniel knows, because he's high in the position of power, Daniel knows this writing has been signed. And so Daniel goes into his house, and Daniel opens his windows towards Jerusalem, the homeland, and he prays 3 times a day. And I love that last line. As he did aforetime. which lets me know that Daniel is not doing anything different today than what Daniel did yesterday, and the day before that, and a month ago, and a year ago. This is Daniel's custom, and everybody there knows it, because he goes up to his room, opens his window, and prays in the morning, in the noon, and then in the evening. Daniel prays to God. So what are some lessons out of these first 10 verses? Well, dealing wisely in our business affairs will bring us into positions of influence. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. See what the wise man has to say. In Proverbs 22 and verse 29. Proverbs 22, 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. We deal honestly in our business affairs wisely, people will start to take notice. That's why Daniel was elevated. He was dealing wisely. What else? Daniel's honesty and his integrity, they keep him out of trouble. Honesty, integrity keep you out of trouble. Go back to Proverbs 11 and verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Perverseness of those transgressors, that will be their downfall. What's another lesson? Listening to those who flatter our ego blinds us to their true purposes. Listening to those who would flatter our ego blinds us to what they really want to do. Let's go now to Proverbs 26 and 28. Proverbs 26, 28. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Part of the downfall of Darius is that these people stroked his ego, and he liked it. And so he started listening to their praises and wasn't really thinking about what they wanted. He just goes ahead and signs it. And our last lesson from this section of Scripture, some things cannot be compromised, and prayer is one of them. We might have compromised some other things in life, but prayer cannot be compromised. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul tells those at Thessalonica to pray without ceasing. Now that does not mean a 24-hour-a-day prayer, because that is physically impossible. On the contrary, that means you should never stop praying in your life. You should never reach a stage and say, well, I'm good with God. I'm good in this situation. I don't need God anymore. You need to pray without ceasing. And I would make you have a note beside that in your Bible, to Psalm 55 and verse 17. Psalm 55, 17. Turn with me there for just a second, then we'll get back into Daniel. But I love this verse. Psalm 55 and 17. You ever wondered what David's prayer life was like? Watch this. David says that at evening, and in the morning, and at noon will I pray, and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. God desires for his people to pray unto him. And David prayed three times a day. Daniel prayed three times a day. Isn't that a good pattern for us? And then we fill in other moments in our life with prayer. Evening, morning, and at noontime, I will pray to thee. That's the first thing that we look at Daniel, is this conspiracy. Now number two, there's a confrontation and a condemnation. Confrontation and condemnation. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 6 now. We'll pick up in verse 11 and go through 17. Then these men assembled, that's talking about those governors, assembled and they found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. And they said, hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, this thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought, laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king set it with his own signet, and the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. What's the confrontation and condemnation of Daniel? Well, the plan, and it's consummated. They see Daniel praying because they knew Daniel was going to pray 3 times a day. So they confirm the law, and it's almost as if they pull out the law and say, yep, you can't pray for 30 days. Oh, we're in the 30 days. Uh-oh, problem with Daniel. And so they go and they report it to the king. And so they ask the king, is this not the law? And he said, yeah, that's the law. I signed it. I should know. And then they say, well, that Daniel. I love that. When they say in verse 13, that Daniel, which is the children of the captivity of Judah, disregards you, O king. That Daniel that you like, that Daniel that's in a high position of power, that Daniel does not regard you, O king. And notice, the king is sore displeased with himself. He is set into motion that for all intents and purposes, there is a law that cannot be changed. Because that's how the Medes and Persians work. And so now he's displeased because, I mean, Daniel's been found guilty. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Daniel is guilty of this law. It's a crazy law. But really, we should be concerned with God's laws. But the people think they have it. So Daniel is condemned because they bring him and they throw in verse 16 into the lion's den. But notice the words that the king says to him. The God who you continually serve will deliver you. Because the king can do nothing else. His hands are tied. But he believes at least somewhat in this God. And so they take a big stone, much like the tomb of Jesus we studied this morning in class. They take a big stone. They put it in front of the mouth of the lion's den. And they seal it. The king with his signet ring. And then all those that were in official power, they sealed it as well. What are some lessons from verses 11 through 17? Well, the wicked are always watching. They're trying to catch the religious in a violation of something. Seems the wicked are always watching. They will say, well, didn't you just break that law? Psalm 37:32, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The wicked watch the righteous with no other purpose but to slay him. What's another lesson we can learn? We should think on something before we act upon it. We should weigh the evidence, if you will. Let's go to the book of Proverbs now. In Proverbs 16 and verse 20. Proverbs 16 and 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. We want to be happy in life. The wise man says you got to trust in the Lord. He offers me to handle the matter wisely. Let's flip over to the 25th chapter. Proverbs 25 and verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of a king is to search out a matter. We don't need to be jumping to conclusions because that's a poor form of exercise. We need to analyze what's before us before we make a decision. Another lesson, we must trust in God even in the most desperate of times. Trust in God even in the most desperate of times. Let's go to Proverbs 3, a passage I'm sure you're well familiar with. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. We need to trust in God even when times get desperate. Let's flip one more time back to the book of Psalms. Psalm number 91 and verse 2. Psalm 91 and 2. The psalmist says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Refuge and fortress, places that you often think about going in difficult times. We need to trust God even when times seem to be difficult. So that's the condemnation of Daniel. Let's look at number three, the conservation of Daniel, to keep it well on the sea theme. The conservation of Daniel. Let's pick back up Daniel 6. We'll look at verses 18 through 23. The king went into his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went into haste into the den of lions. And he came to the den and cried with a lamentable voice, unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? And then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths. They have not hurt me. Forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. And was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no matter of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. So what about the conservation of Daniel? Notice what Darius does. Verse 18 tells us he's fasted all night. They tried to bring in some music, probably the best music players in all of the country, to lighten his spirits, and that didn't work. And the Bible says his sleep left him. His sleep went from him, so he doesn't sleep a wink. Because he's thinking about Daniel the entire night. So if you notice, very early in the morning, verse 19, it says he goes and he looks down in the lion's den, because it would have been up. He would have been up. You could have looked down into it just a little bit to kind of watch the destruction happen if you wanted to. And he rushed out there, and he laments, and he's crying out. He's upset. He says, Daniel, Daniel, are you there? Is the God that you serve, did he keep you safe? And notice what Daniel says. O king, live forever. He's still under King Darius' rule. Daniel says that my God sent an angel and shut up the mouth of the lions. And he was just in there with a bunch of big cats, basically. Daniel pronounces his innocence, says, I've done nothing wrong. The king commands Daniel to come out of the lion's den, and he looks, and Daniel hasn't been hurt. There's not a scratch. He's not bleeding. Daniel looks just like he did when he went in. In fact, he probably looks better than the king, because Daniel probably slept through the night. But the king did not. What are some lessons from these verses? First off, we need to take seriously the peril of others. We need to look seriously at the peril of others. We live in a society, sadly, that likes to laugh sometimes at the difficult situations that other people are going through. Let's go back to the book of Proverbs now. That's kind of what we've been doing all sermon. Proverbs 24, verses 17 and 18. Proverbs 24, 17. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. He said we shouldn't make fun of when our enemies or when people we love are going through difficult times. Another lesson, fulfillment of hope brings great joy. Fulfillment of hope brings great joy. Proverbs 13 and 23. 13 and 23, much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. So the fulfillment of hope brings great joy. So that's the conservation. Daniel is saved. Let's quickly go back to Daniel chapter 6. We look at our fourth point this morning. It is the consternation. We're keeping it on seas. And one thing, the proclamation. The consternation and the proclamation of Daniel. And that's found in verses 24 through 28. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. Now I'm in the wrong chapter. I was like, that sounds weird. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 24. There we go. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them in the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces. Over all they came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto the people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. In his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivered and rescueth, and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. He hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lion. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. What's the consternation and proclamation? The king is angry. He's not angry at Daniel. He's angry at those governors, at those princes, at those satraps that put this decree into command. And so he takes them and their children and their wives, and he has them cast into the lion's den. This demonstrates the king's wrath. Now, I just want to point something out here in passing, because you may come across somebody who says, well, yeah, but when Daniel was in that lion's den, they were old lions. They were lions that had just been fed before he was thrown in, so they wouldn't have attacked him anyways. And that's a lie. You know how I know? Because the Bible tells me, in verse 24, the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones. Now, last time I checked, a lion that has just been fed and is old is probably not going to have the mastery over somebody. They're not going to destroy them and break all their bones. These were fully functioning lions that were hungry. But God intervened, so Daniel was not destroyed. But God did not intervene when these enemies were thrown in there. So what's the king's proclamation? Decreed that all men tremble before the God of Daniel. He is the living God. This is the God whose kingdom, he says, shall never be destroyed. In verse 26, his dominion shall even be unto the end. This is the God he delivers and rescues. Verse 27, the God who has signs and wonders. What are some lessons from this? If we do evil, we should expect wrath from the government. Find in Romans 13, 3 and 4. If we do evil... But one other lesson is that there is no reason not to believe in God. Let's go to Romans as we close out this lesson. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. There is no reason not to believe in God. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is no excuse to say, I don't believe in God. Romans 1 and 20 tells us we can look outside in nature and see evidence of a divine creator. And the story of Daniel and the lions, then we looked at it from a different point of view this morning. We saw a conspiracy. We saw a confrontation and condemnation, the conservation and the consternation. See how many C words we can get in that sentence. And finally, the proclamation. Now here's what I find really amazing about the story of Daniel and the lion's den. Daniel believed in his God, that his God was going to keep him safe no matter what happened. And do you realize that we serve that same God that sent an angel to shut up the mouth of the lions? That is the exact same God that we serve is the God that Daniel served. Of Daniel served. We serve him today. Are you serving him? Are you learning these lessons? It's recorded in the Old Testament for our learning. Romans 15 and 4 teaches that we through patience and comfort the scriptures might have hope. We can see how powerful God is, that he's going to keep his promises, and also he's going to seek wrath on those that don't obey him. Where are you this morning? Have you obeyed the gospel? Reading stories like this make me want to obey the gospel so I don't have to face the wrath of God. We do that through hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, then being baptized, having our sins washed away, going that watery grave of a new creature alive in Christ. If you've not done that this morning, let me plead with you, beg with you. What will it take for you to obey the gospel? Your soul is at stake here. Why don't you obey the gospel? Maybe you have done that. Keep going. Keep remaining faithful to death. Revelation 2:10 promises that we have life if we die faithful to the Lord. If you've fallen off, why not get back on track? Because once again, your soul's still at stake here. If we can help you in any way at all this morning, whatever your need may be, Please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.